for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Are we on now?
We are. Yay! Whoopsie! Do you want to start again?
Well, we're back now.
I reckon we are. And no Easter eggs were injured during the making of this show.
This week,
Shay returns with a new segment. Steffi chats to author A.A. Secon. And in the studio this evening, we have Saphonic Bristol.
Plus news, views, and some cracking tracks.
Oh yeah, all right, here in the next hour on Shout Out.
Hello.
Good day, everyone.
Good day, mate.
Out of practice there.
I didn't notice.
No, it was all on purpose, Steffi.
Yeah,
you like to keep me on my toes whenever I co-present.
The previous incumbents had actually switched the mics off. So I was a false sense of security because we queued and then nothing. So, First Bus sponsored that moment.
Yes. What are you trying to say?
Well, it's not a lot round, is there?
No.
Even worse now, new schedule from the 5th.
Almost forced me to be late today.
Nearly. We have Charlie in the studio, listeners.
Yeah, welcome.
We're very excited to have them.
Newbie. Just out the rapid.
A newbie indeed. We've all been newbies at one time or another. Yeah. Steph, you were a newbie about 80 years ago. I was a newbie 7 years ago, and you can cut me off if you want.
Wow.
I know, sorry.
I can take it.
Okay.
People keep telling me.
How is everybody this evening?
Okay, yes, the show must go on. I got a bad leg, but the show must go on.
It does. Is that going to affect your jaw muscles?
Don't speak in the legs.
Okay. Glad to hear that, Terry. So you'll be delivering the news sat down
from my little corner over here, yes.
Okay. Yeah, you just stay where you are then.
I will.
Tara?
All right.
Yeah. Now, you got some news. Just as you were coming into the studio, you picked up on something concerning the unions.
Yeah, there's a bit of a concern, but unions aren't standing up for trans rights at the moment in bathrooms. You know, how we've got this complex idea that if you work for a company and you're trans, you're supposed to use the toilets of your birth gender.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Yeah. So it's a bit messed up, isn't it?
Yeah, and I would imagine that there's going to be a lot of people within the unions who are very supportive of trans, queer, non-binary people. So it makes you think of, it's not the same thing, but like with the Girl Guides, there were so many people within that organisation that didn't want to have to respond in the ways that they were being told they had to.
I think people are being scared by people being threatened with legal action by probably a certain organisation with some funding.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Who do you possibly
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Mean?
I think that's very true. Yeah. I think also when you look at the trade union movement, as I remember discussing with Peter Tatchell on the air many years ago when he was a guest on the programme, we talked about how at one point in the past the left, including the trade unions, was very, very homophobic, let alone transphobic.
Yeah.
And it was only in 1976 when the union started to move motions in favour of what was then known as gay and lesbian rights.
So it wasn't the coal miners that kind of pushed it as well?
They did, yeah.
That was Arthur Pride.
Yeah, Arthur Scargill did, in fairness to him. Yeah, he did.
Are you talking about the Battle of Blair Mountain?
Battle of War. Yeah, I think so. Yeah, it's depicted in the movie. Sorry, my microphone's a bit quiet. Is that better, Steffi?
You need to directly
into the microphone.
We have directional mics.
But that's kind of what happened. And also, I mean, there are parts of the trade union movement even today which are a little bit transphobic.
Yeah.
The Morning Star newspaper, for example, has come out against gender recognition, so there are still parts of it that are
we'll come back to this later on the show.
Sorry.
But we do have to move on, and guess who's back?
Who?
Coffee back on air. How are you doing? How the devil you been? Yes, I am back after almost a year off. Where have I been? What have I been doing? And why has it all been a little bit secret? Well, it's a little bit of a story, but we'll start at the beginning and we'll see if we can crack through it in the next couple of minutes. It's all about to come out anyway because of various things. So I thought I might as well say exactly what has happened. I came off air last year because I wasn't terribly well. And while I was recuperating, and I have missed doing Shay's American Pie, by the way. I think we're going to call this one something different, but we'll get to that. I was contacted by a reporter from the Huffington Post and also works for Rolling Stone magazine called Nico Lang. Nico is non-binary and had written a story about families fleeing Trump's America. This particular family that he'd focused on, they had a trans child, and they essentially, such fear had been caused by the rhetoric of Trump administration, they packed up what they could into suitcases and sold everything else, cars, toys, possessions, and they fled to the UK. And Nico had written quite an interesting piece on them, but he was very, very concerned for their welfare because he didn't see a plan in what they were doing. They were just fleeing for their lives. Isn't that the very definition of refugees, by the way? So they'd landed in Scotland and he'd kept tabs on them. But they didn't have visas. They didn't have anything. They were here on tourist visas, not work visas. So he put me in contact with them and we brought them to London and we helped get them shipshape and towards entering the asylum system. Yes, refugees. I know it's a touchy subject. That is one of the reasons that this has all gone under the radar, because some people out there will be, oh, refugees, blah, 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 blah. Sorry about that. I won't say too much about their case because that would be unfair. However, very, very shortly after that, there was a second family and then a third. And it was clear that there are people in the States who are terrified they're going to be locked up just because they themselves are trans or they have family members who are trans. And we spent the summer working with two other families who had pretty much done the same thing. We didn't encourage them to come to the UK. We were put in contact with them because we've done work with our siblings over the water. And we spent the summer helping them essentially get ready for the asylum system. Again, I'm going to reiterate, we didn't ask them to come here. We didn't help them come here. They were already here and they were desperate. But then we got contacted by people in the States who were looking to leave. And we spent the year essentially very busily helping refugees who were transgender in the United States flee. And we've been, I think, relatively successful. We've had three families in total enter the asylum system. And we've had seven individuals who we've managed to get help get work visas for. These are all people who are terrified of living in their home country, that one that's called the Land of the Free. We've also managed to get someone into Ireland, and we are working again this summer doing the same thing. It's very controversial, I appreciate that. But over the coming weeks, I want to give some of the people we've helped the chance to speak and tell you their story, their side of things. So I spoke to the lovely folks at LGBT Shoutout and they've agreed to put me back on air so that I can share with you not only their stories, but other stories around the world. We're going to go to Pakistan. We're going to go to India. We might even get as far as Australia. But I want you to hear what it's like worldwide being LGBTQIA+ right now. Where does that leave us? Well, we think in this country that it's bad. And hey, it's not great being trans here right now. It's probably not great being queer here right now. But we still have a certain level of freedom. We are not running for our lives because we believe we're about to be locked up. You know, we have not as knowingly had families split up with children taken into care because they're trans. Do I think that's coming? Sadly, yes. Yes, I do. I do think that's coming. Do I think it's going to be a thing? Yes. Are we there yet? I really hope not. But if we are, reach out to me and I'll highlight your story too. But there are people around the world now who are genuinely fearful because something has changed. It's not just Trump getting in again. It's not just the words and the actions and the fear of persecution. Something more fundamental has changed. And so for the next few months, once a month, I'll be here for 10 minutes and we're going to talk to some of these people and we're going to find out what's changed. And I hope I learn something. I hope you learn something. But that's what I've been doing. And we did it secretly because we were concerned that people may get upset by that, that there may be issues. We haven't contravened anything. We've been very lucky in that we've had legal firms come forward to help. We've had legal representation come forward to help. We've even had private medical care come forward and offer help for some of these people who need it. And seven of these individuals now who came on work visas are contributing to the UK society, paying taxes. So that's got to be a good thing, right? Let me know your thoughts. Let me know your thoughts on this. Have I done the right thing? Should we, in this country, not only fight for queer rights here, but queer rights abroad? Should I call it LGBT rights even? You tell me. I would be fascinated to hear your stories too. But for the next few months, we are going to look around the world. We are going to see what it's like being queer, LGBT, and particularly trans, with Trump in the White House. Where do we go from here? What's going to happen? I don't know. I do know that the next podcast that we do here, we will be talking to someone who has escaped Trump's America and is now in Ireland. We'll see you in a few weeks.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.
A.A. Secon, an avid scholar and student of history and human nature, earned a B.A. as a W.T. Young Scholar at Transylvania University, an esteemed liberal arts university, and a Master of Arts in Diplomacy, specialising in history and political science at the Patterson School of Diplomacy at the University of Kentucky. A native of Lexington, Kentucky, Secon has taught classes in history and in political science at local university there. Assumptions, which is the book we're going to be talking about, is Ash's first book. Welcome to Shout Out, Ash.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Now, before we get actually into your book, how did you get to this point?
Well, I have always read avidly, a lifelong reader. I can't remember a time I haven't read. So I've always loved stories, but I actually didn't come to the writing of Assumptions until I was derailed from my intended career, which was to work for the United Nations. I came down with fibromyalgia and was only able to work part-time. So I had quite a bit of spare time to, you know, observe things and think about history and think about people and start writing.
Okay. Now, one of the big questions I love to ask people who are either writing or reading, but do you like a physical book in your hand and the smell and the pages?
Oh, absolutely. I absolutely do. It's, I know that a lot of people do love the digital readers, and they are handy. But for me, the medium is the message. And there's just, you know, it's a unique experience to open the book and smell the pages and feel it in your hands. Yeah. And take it with you wherever you go. There's nothing like it.
No. Now, tell us a bit of detail about your book.
All right, let's see. Well, I think I can give away the opening line, because anyone who opens the book is going to see that. The opening line is, he awoke in a morgue in London. And from there, sort of along with the main character, the reader gets to, one, of course, experience the disorientation. But then as the story goes on, see, basically experience through the character 1880s London, as well as how this character struggles to maintain his own humanity, you know, be, you know, trying to be the good and kind person that he wants to be while having sort of an Achilles heel, as we all, you know, humans do, and dealing with his foil, his nemesis, who is right much of a thorn in his side throughout the novel. So this is a novel wherein the main character is having to be very careful of his reputation, given the social circles in which he, you know, interacts. And there is also, in addition to his foil in this story, there is also sort of the criminal element as far as one of the other characters is concerned. Because the main character has a secret that he really does not want revealed, in a time when such secrets could completely not only ruin one's social standing, but also, you know, financially ruin a person, you know, just that's the end. He doesn't want to disclose what his relationship is with this particular, I believe his nemesis calls him, oh, you're Bravo, you know, you're a person undertaking these crimes on your behalf. So that it's very much a story where, you know, hearsay and rumor sort of take on a life of their own, not only potentially with the main character, which he fears, you know, blackmail, all that sort of thing, but also one of his, basically a mentor of his, in, you know, times past. He finds out some things about him that he did not know before, and some things behind that person's downfall and how that came about. So it's very much sort of this social dynamic and drama and things kept secret and left unsaid or only said behind closed doors.
Mm. How long did it take you to write from coming up with the idea to actually putting notes down and then building the story and that? So in total, how long did it start you from the idea to print?
Well, I'd say from just the raw idea, that took me a few years before I actually sat down and wrote it, because as I said, I was dealing, you know, with some health problems. But from there to print, I unfortunately had about a 10-year gap of a fairly bad run, you know, just of bad health. And so if you include that 10-year gap, it was, I would say, 15 years between actually conceiving the idea and seeing print.
Wow. Wow. So this is part of your life, isn't it, this?
It is.
So, yeah. Yeah. So you must be quite close friends with the characters.
Yes. Yes, the best ones sort of inhabit your head and give free advice. So.
Indeed. Oh, dear. Okay. So how can people buy the book and also your social media? Because people will obviously want to follow you.
Sure. So I do have a website. It's assumptionsbook.wordpress.com. And it's, of course, Assumptions Book is just all one word. And there are links there for where you can purchase it. Or if you just want to search on Amazon yourself, it's available on Amazon, both in North America and in the UK. So it's available through there. And if you are more the type who likes to go into a physical bookstore and pick up a book and look at it before you purchase, it's also available at Waterstones.
So. Ah, okay. So basically everywhere that people go to get their books.
I should hope so.
What about your social media? Are you on Instagram and Facebook? And
So all of the links for the social media can be found on the website.
Ah, okay.
There's a page dedicated to that.
Okay.
Just click the link and there you go.
Okay, Ash. How about plans? Can you share anything with us? Second book, follow up?
Part of a series, actually. I've now, you know, I've lived long enough with, you know, getting to know the characters and figuring out where I want things to go and what might happen, that Assumptions is essentially the first book in what will be at least a 3, maybe a 4-book series called Passing Normal. And I'm currently working on both the sequel and the prequel.
Right. Do you get confused about doing that, right? And 2 books. And so it's like when you hear people making a trilogy of films, isn't it? And they're producing and doing them all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. You do run that risk a little bit, but it's actually pretty helpful to me because I can make sure that things that I am discovering as I write the prequel, I mean, I've planned most of it out, but I still discover new things, can help inform some of the story that's in the sequel as far as different characters' relationships are concerned. There's a very good friend of the main character that, you know, I'm finding out as I write the prequel. He's known since boyhood, you know, schoolmates together, you know, that sort of thing. And that is helping, it's still, their interaction in the first book still holds up, of course, but it's helping give more depth to their relationship in the second book.
Mm. Ash, thank you so much for joining us on Shout Out. It's been an absolute pleasure. And hopefully, once you've got the second and third books ready to go, that you'll come back and join us and tell us about those.
Well, certainly, I would love to.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Shout Out News, welcome along. The NASUWT Teaching Union has issued a stark warning that what it describes as a masculinity crisis is brewing in UK classrooms following a sharp rise in misogynistic abuse directed at female teachers. According to the union's annual survey, nearly a quarter of female teachers, 23.4%, reported experiencing misogynistic abuse from a pupil in the last year. That figure is up from 17.4% in 2023, making it the fourth consecutive increase. Teachers described the impact as traumatising, with some saying they were left feeling humiliated and violated. One respondent reported that a pupil had created AI-generated naked images of her, which she found as absolutely horrifying. Another said that boys had joked about raping girls in front of her and laughed when they were challenged. The General Secretary of the NASUWT, Matt Brack, warned that if female staff are struggling to contain gender-based aggression, it represents what he calls a ticking time bomb. He said urgent action is needed to support boys and young men before the problem escalates further. The union is calling for professional training to help teachers identify and challenge behaviour linked to online radicalisation, sexism and hate, stressing that the issue requires education and support rather than punitive responses. Pink News, one of the UK's largest LGBTQ+ media organisations, is facing scrutiny this week amid reports of further staff redundancies and growing calls for a boycott from parts of the trans community. According to reporting by Queer AF and What the Trans, Pink News has begun consultations on a move to what has been described as a reporter-free newsroom, placing much of its editorial team at risk of redundancy. The report suggests the outlet may increasingly rely on press releases, short social media content and sponsored material. The developments come during a wave of public backlash following Pink News' decision to publish an opinion piece by the Health Secretary Wes Streeting defending restrictions on trans healthcare. Critics argue that platforming this minister caused harm and contributed to a loss of trust. Several LGBTQ+ groups and activists, including the Trans+ Solidarity Alliance, have said they will no longer work with or support Pink News until its editorial decision changes. On social media platform Blue Sky, Pink News was reported to be among the most blocked accounts in the days following publication of the Streeting article. Pink News has said that it remains committed to covering LGBTQ+ issues and has previously cited financial pressures and declining social media traffic as factors behind restructuring. The organisation denies hostility towards trans people. The situation has reignited wider debate about accountability, sustainability visibility and values within LGBTQ plus media at a time of increasing political pressure. In the United States, LGBTQ rights advocates are celebrating after legislation considered hostile to the community failed to pass in the state of Georgia's latest legislative session. Georgia Equality, the state's leading civil rights organization, says that successfully blocked were nearly 15 proposed anti-LGBTQ bills before the session concluded. The defeated measures included attempts to ban puberty blockers for trans youth, restrict trans students' use of facilities aligned with their gender, criminalise librarians for providing LGBTQ plus literature, mandate the outing of queer students, ban drag performances, and introduce legal defences for parents who abuse transgender children for not affirming their gender. Georgia Equality said its campaign mobilised thousands of residents across more than 60 counties to contact lawmakers and lobby directly the state capital. Campaigners described the outcome as a significant victory, whilst cautioning that similar legislation is likely to return in future sessions. The left-wing Labour Journal Tribune reports that the Gay Health Secretary Wes Streeting is heading for confrontation with doctors as tensions escalate over the six-day strike by resident doctors in England. According to Tribune, Mr. Streeting and Labour leader Keir Starmer issued an ultimatum to the British Medical Association, warning that 1,000 promised new training posts would be withdrawn if the strike went ahead. The BMA rejected the demand, and the government has since confirmed the posts will not be created. The Journal, which has sharply criticised Mr. Streeting's record on trans healthcare, says that the dispute risks deepening divisions between Labour and the medical profession. International LGBTQIA plus advocacy group All Out has issued a warning over escalating repression in Belarus. In a press release, the organisation says that police in Minsk recently raided a private party and arrested people suspected of being LGBT plus, even before new anti-LGBT plus legislation has been formally signed into law. The proposed law would group LGBT plus people alongside paedophiles and introduce punishments including fines, forced labour and arrest for anyone speaking openly about queer relationships. All Out reports that security services have already begun blackmailing queer people, with hundreds seeking help to leave the country. All Out is urging supporters to sign a petition online calling for international pressure on the Belarusian government. In slightly better news, Diva magazine has announced that Lesbian Visibility Week will take place at the end of April. This year's event marks the first to be organised by the Diva Charity Trust and focuses on addressing the ongoing lack of representation for LGBTQIA plus women and non-binary people across media, leadership, funding and public life. The week will conclude with events in London celebrating lesbian visibility, community and collective joy. And finally, East Bristol Books has announced a talk on trans-inclusive abolitionist feminism. On Friday, the 17th of April, the bookshop will host authors Nat Ruha and Mika van der Drift for a discussion entitled Transfemme Futures, exploring transfeminist abolitionism, care and collective resistance in the face of austerity. Tickets cost £6 and are available via the Head First Bristol listings website. That's the news for this week. Go to shoutoutradio.lgbt to keep up to date. For Shoutout News, I've been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Lee Hazelwood trying to become straight and open Nancy Sinatra's gate. And obviously with the help of Phaedra, who is the goddess of gay men who go straight.
I don't
all
know
makes
if
sense
that's...
in the 60s. Well, everyone was on LSD, so that's exactly what it meant. Yeah, and that's not just paying shillings and pence either, folks.
Oh, God. I feel a bit shooketh.
Yeah, apologies because there's a bit of a buzz on a couple of our mics.
There is. We're buzzing, that's what we are. Yes.
We are buzzing. There are.
So, sorry about that. And, we're welcoming a guest.
We are.
Yes. Now, I really love this name. Sophonic Bristol. What a lovely, lovely name. Now we're welcoming Kelly Walters to Shout Out. Welcome, Kelly.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
First, let's go back. What gave you the idea to set up a choir?
So when I first moved to Bristol, which is getting on for 20 years ago now, I had friends here, but I didn't have any queer friends. I didn't have my people. And after a few years, I found Sing Out Bristol, which just ended up being a complete, you know, it was a massive thing in my life. It changed my life. Through Sing Out Bristol, I got to try conducting. I got to try teaching and leading a choir. And I love it. I just thought it's so good. And that community that we have in a choir is, there's nothing really like it. You know, it's finding your people. After leaving that, I briefly joined Enharmonic, which was another Bristol LGBTQ plus choir, which sadly finished last year. And after that, I was kind of thinking, you know, I think there's really a space for a women's LGBTQ plus choir in Bristol. And then a couple of people I knew who had been in Sing Out and Enharmonic actually asked if I would consider starting a choir. And I was like, well, here we go then. Let's do it.
Excellent. Now, you are fully inclusive, aren't you, Kelly?
Yes. Anybody who defines as a woman is welcome in our choir. The only stipulation is you need to be able to sing tenor or higher, which, just because we're not going to have a bass section, so yeah, it's a bit tricky to have basses if there's no bass section.
Yeah. Now, you've got your first session, haven't you? So people are being invited in.
Yep.
Where is that going to be?
We are starting on Tuesday. We rehearse on Tuesday night from 7:30 till 9. We're going to be rehearsing in Bedminster. I think it's just it's a great opportunity to come along, meet your people, see what it's like, have fun. You know, singing is so good for the soul. It really is. And it's just a great way to meet people, have fun, and, you know, experience the joy of singing.
If people are feeling a little nervous or maybe a bit overwhelmed at the idea of coming into a new space, maybe they don't have friends in Bristol, maybe they do, but they've never been to something on their own or sung in front of somebody or a group of people, what do you think could be some sort of encouraging words, or what helped you when you first got into that space?
Honestly, the first time I walked into a choir rehearsal for Sing Out Bristol was one of the scariest moments of my life. I was so scared. I couldn't, you know, I nearly didn't go in. And now I look back and I'm like, how much my life has changed for the better from just having that moment of, okay, this is scary as anything, but I'm going to do it, you know. And, you know, I like to think that's choir people are friendly.
Yeah.
You know, we're all just there to sing. We're there to make music. And that's, you know, that's the whole thing. We don't get together to cause trouble. I mean, apart from a bit of political trouble occasionally,
yeah,
maybe. But just come along and give it a go. You know, there's plenty of people who are going to be new. There's a lot of old hands who know everyone, know the ropes, you know what it's like being in a choir. So come along, give it a go. And, you know, please, when you contact us, just say if you're a bit nervous. We'll make space for you.
Do you allow training? So if somebody's not sung before, not been in a choir, but really wants to get involved, can you hold their hand?
Definitely. I mean, this is not an auditioned choir. This is a community choir. This is for everybody. And I think most people are a lot better at singing than they think they are. So what we try and do is, you know, it's always good if we could have the more nervous people standing next to the more confident singers. So you can kind of like tune in with them and follow them, and, you know, and we're not expecting everyone to be, you know, Pavarotti or whoever, whenever they, as soon as they turn up. Yeah. So it's, the whole point is we're learning together. It's not a case of you have to be amazing when you turn up. This is a journey for all of us. I've never led a choir on my own, and I'm super excited about that. And there's going to be people that haven't sung in choirs before, and we're all there to go through this joy together.
Absolutely. Do you have a genre of music that you want to sort of bring into that space, or is it going to be let's just see? Do you have any ideas in the moment?
So I want to mix it up quite a bit. There'll obviously be a lot of kind of pop, maybe, you know, queer icons going in there. I love classical music, so I want to find some classical stuff for us to sing, some stuff in other languages. You know, there's some amazing pieces out there. There's a fantastic piece on the soundtrack to Project Hail Mary, which is a Maori song. And I would love to sing that in choir because it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So, have you seen the film?
I've seen it twice.
it's phenomenal. And one of the first things I did when I left was I saved the soundtrack because I was just absolutely blown away by it. The same as I was for The Martian. Same writer, but same writer for the books, but I think a different musical writer.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, the musical on that's fantastic. Yeah.
It sounds like it's going to not just be a diverse space, as in for, you know, people within the LGBT community, which I think is wonderful and so needed, and needed now more than ever. These spaces, you know, there's never going to be too many, is what I think. And I think everybody wants to find the right space for them. And that can take going to a few different events or a few different groups for people to finally think, actually, yeah, this is what fits. And this is a great day of the week for me. And these are a great bunch of people, location, you know, all those things matter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, there are so many options out there, certainly more than when I first moved to Bristol. But sometimes you go to things and they're not quite your thing, you know, they're not quite right for you or whatever. It's like, you know, there's a lot of queer exercise classes that you won't find me at. You know, I'd rather be singing or, you know, reading books or whatever. So if, you know, I think it's one of those things, you do have to try these things and you see what it's like and you see how you feel and just give it a go.
Do you have musicians involved?
We're going to be starting as an a cappella choir, which means no backing track, no accompanist. There's something really nice about just the pure sound of people singing on their own. I'm trying to keep it open, so who knows, in the future we may be all singing, all dancing, backing track. Who knows? But certainly to begin with, the best thing about a choir is you turn up with your voice. That's all you need.
And that is amazing, isn't it? So can you tell us a little bit? So it's starting next week.
Yeah, we're brand new on Tuesday,
Amazing. And location?
It's in Bedminster, so contact us and we'll give you all the details you need to know.
And how do they contact you?
So we're on Facebook and Instagram. We're Symphonic Bristol on both of those. And if you want to email us for more information, it's symphonicbristol@gmail.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It's always wonderful to hear about new things, and I think this is going to be a great space for a lot of people.
Thanks. I hope so.
Thank you, Kelly. Thank you so much.
The Shout Out Podcast.
The Kinky Boys with Kia and Sexy Boy. Your starter for 10, Terrence. Where is that from?
Trainspotting. Yeah, Trainspotting.
Oh.
It was used in.
It was.
And Trainspotting.
That was not in Trainspotting, was it?
It was, wasn't it?
Oh, I don't know.
My little audio
right. Let's do some research.
Judges.
Yes, if all else fails, Google.
But it was in Queer as Folk, quite a famous scene.
Yeah, you know. It was. Now, we were talking about unions and that toilets, when we come onto air, and toilets and that. And Terry, you mentioned that in the news as well, about some left-wing news media actually out against trans as well.
Some, but, unfortunately, there's even a small coterie, especially in the United States, of white gay men who are perhaps more affluent in the movement, saying, well, you know, we can chuck transgender people under the tram because, you know, we've got our rights and why should we stand up for theirs? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That has
They're
happened.
They're coming for you. They're
but they'll come for you eventually. And this is one of the things that was said at the very beginning of all this moral panic about trans people a few years ago, is those lesbian feminists, a small minority of them who sided with the anti-trans movement, they were told, once they finished coming for the trans people, they'll be after you next. Mm. And that is exactly what has happened.
We're not learning from history.
Exactly.
The same happened in the 30s with the Nazis. Where did they start?
Exactly.
Trans women.
Yeah. And a gay book burning was one of the first ones that they did.
Can I say, the Women's Institute and how they've been disbarring themselves and closing down over this, right?
Yes.
I think that shows how much passion there is out there for women to support trans women.
Yeah, we've had a group on this programme called Not In Our Name, is it? Not In My Name?
Yes.
We've discussed, you know, the majority of cisgender women in this country are supportive of trans women's rights. The problem is the press barons aren't putting them in the paper. So the Telegraph, the Daily Mail, the Express, the Sun are all run by TERFs, if you like, or have that.
But what, I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? We're less than 1% of the population. What, 0.5%? Less than somewhere around there? And they take up, we take disproportionate volume.
Yeah.
Of communication.
Yeah.
There's only 180,000 trans people who've actually got a GRC. Right. So that's a lot less than trans people in the population.
Apparently we're equivalent to the population of Sheffield.
Yeah. Somewhere and you know what that. They say about the population of Sheffield? Yeah. For your rights.
Yeah. Full of stainless steel.
Yes, yes, indeed. But, you know, and it is such a logical thing. You know, it's a bit like the international Jewish conspiracy theory or the international gay conspiracy theory. There are just too few trans people to do this. But the way that the Daily Telegraph speaks, if your car doesn't start in the morning, it's a trans woman what done it.
Yeah.
It's a bizarre situation. Yeah. Well, getting the blame for everything.
UKIP started to blame the weather on the LGBTQ community as a whole.
Especially gay men.
Gay men were to blame for hurricanes and storms.
Yeah,
and
we can control the weather. Not
I don't
know
how
know
powerful
that.
They think we are.
It's weird, isn't it?
I mean, we're powerful.
We're clearly...
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
But it is... absolutely bizarre situation, but there we go.
And I think the thing is that if you haven't got the capacity yourself to be able to kind of rise above it, it can really destroy you.
Yeah, and I think that's why all these community spaces, like Kelly was talking about earlier, are just so important. And that, you know, if anybody out there is listening and you think there's not a space for you, I promise you there is, whether that's in person or online.
Choir.
We were just hearing about a wonderful choir. And there will always be someone you can talk to as well. Because I think at the moment, you know, I'm seeing it a lot with the younger people, especially that I'm talking to, the level of impact. I think some of that is because of exactly what is going on, but it is also because social media looks very different now than it did when I was 16. In fact, there wasn't social media when I was 16, you know, so there's some real positive things about social media, absolutely, but there's also, you know, people are feeling just constantly sort of barraged, flooded by so much information.
Can I say one thing we wanted to do when we set Shout Out up 16 years ago now is to create a safe space on the air, you know, and have a look online. There's some great LGBT plus podcasts. There's some great radio stations on streaming online from around the world. And it's nice to have, or to immerse yourself in a queer friendly space from time to time. As our guest tonight said, you need your people around you.
You can mix with the other side, and it actually isn't that bad. I mean, that's why my experience is.
Yeah.
The other side.
Sorry. The other side.
You know, go to the construction site. Construction site. It's not LGBT. Oh,
that's cool.
Heterosexuals.
And there are some really wonderful
allies.
I'm just
joking. I've got wonderful, wonderful heterosexual friends.
Out there, the majority
allies
are really, really friendly.
Yes, yeah. I agree.
Can I just say that?
You
can.
Let's focus on that. That's good for the end. That's
indeed
great.
We're out of here.
And so soon.
But we'll be back next week, same time, same channels.
Meanwhile, for news and past shows, go to shoutoutradio.lgbt. Until next time, have a great week on the Rainbow Slide.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Shout Out.
LGBT radio for you.